Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living Day by Day, a radio show designed to address daily life issues, as well as covering informational, educational, yet inspirational topics that are sure to lighten the heavy loads in your life. Your host, Minister Lakiba Wallace, is a profiled author, sought-after radio television personality, and a reputable realtor. Having survived breast cancer has birthed a passion to empower people about health, wellness, and the power of God's love. So whether working in the office or driving in your car, inhale, exhale, and relax, because your rest is not too far. Just position one foot in front of the other by faith. Then you'll experience the wonders of living day by day. Now introducing your host, Minister Lakiba Wallace.
She does such an awesome job. Hey, what's up, family? This is Minister Lakiba Wallace, and today is the day that the Lord has made, and I am super excited. Ain't nobody mad but the devil. What's up, family? What's up, Radio Land? What's up, everybody out there? All of my supporters, all of my followers, all are out there. I say thank you so much for continuing to support the Living Day by Day show. But y'all know I am not on this boat. I am not on this ride by myself. I have the baddest co-host in the nation. Don't try to steal him, because I will fight. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm on the radio. Do not try to steal this young man, because he needs no introduction whatsoever. I'm just glad to be able to be on the radio with him, and that is none other than author, preacher, teacher. Ain't scared of nobody. Preach, Elder Brown. Preach. What's up, sir?
Oh, what's going on, Minister Lakiba Wallace? You didn't give me that intro. I might need some security after this show. Oh, my goodness.
God is good. You know, I'm always excited to have you rocking with me on this road that God has put both of us on. And for those of you who may be joining us for the very first time, you know, this is the LDDD. I like to call it that. That's, you know, that's in my voice before I became to the Lord and before. Okay, I keep forgetting I'm on the radio. Stay on the radio. Stay on the radio. Stay on the radio.
You're
I'm
live.
Just so excited. Right, I'm live. We live. Can't take it back. Somebody will rub it in your face. But God is good. God is doing amazing things through Elder Brown, through myself, right here on the set of the Living Day by Day show. We've had the awesome opportunity to have a lot of heavy hitters on the show, guys. Y'all know we bring the best of the best of the best, but today, I tell you, God reached way down. He reached way down and bought the top of the best. And so I'm just excited. I keep pinching myself like, is this guy really on the Living Day by Day show? And that is none other than the renowned, well-known, everybody know this person. He is intellectually sound. He is spiritually intact. He is covered by the blood of Jesus. So don't start nothing and it won't be nothing, because if you start something, it's still not going to be something. This is an amazing, talented young man. He is American Idol finalist, gospel, R&B, soul artist, writer, vocal coach, actor, model. Boy, I tell you, somebody shout me, because God is doing amazing things in this young man's life. And so I present to some and I introduce to others, none other than the renowned Mr. George Huff.
Oh, Woo-hoo. Thank you so much, Sister Wallace. Brother Brown, Elder Brown, thank y'all so much for having me on the show today. That was a mighty introduction. Sound like you read my Twitter and Instagram.
You know, hey, we gotta make it right up here on the set of the Living Day by Day show.
I love it. I love it. Thank y'all so much for having me today.
Well, I'm just gonna dive right in. I know, we are excited that you're here, and I want to thank Elder Brown for just doing the footwork to get you on the Living Day by Day show. I'm honored just to have both of y'all. But let's just kind of dive into it. I mean, you really need no introduction. And, I mean, God has been doing amazing things in your life. I know Elder Brown has some questions as well. But take a little bit of time, since this is your first time on the Living Day by Day show, and talk about who George Huff is.
Well, George Huff is a New Orleans native, born and raised in New Orleans, Louisiana. I have a few brothers and sisters, actually an older brother, two sisters, just four of us all together. My mom raised us all on her own. And from there, you know, the University of Oklahoma, I attended school there, major in vocal music education, until my money got funny and my change got strange, and then life took me further. And here I am, you know. George Huff is a simple guy. Don't take much to, you know, I'm just thankful for the few things, you know, and just life, health, and strength, and drama-free, all of that, or none of that, you know, and and that's it. That's pretty much who George Huff is, a singer, songwriter, some of the things that you named, a vocal coach, and an inspiring photographer. So just to add a little bit to, you know, a little something, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I got to jump right in here and say, you know, I heard you say you're a vocal coach. Is there any help for me? I mean, can a brother help a sister out?
Do you sing a little bit in the choir, church choir? No.
Church choir? I thought I only had to do this in the shower. They ain't told me about the choir.
Okay, well, you know what? That's enough. Because you know what? Singing is a learned skill. It's like learning how to, well, not as easy, you know, but walking, learning how to walk, you know, from a child up is not, you know, so much of an easy thing to do. But once you get it and you get in the rhythm of it and you learn the theory of it, you can learn how to sing. Yes, I have clients, students, whatever, that come to me that are tone deaf, and within a matter of a week or so, they can sing on pitch. They can hear a pitch, you know, so it can be taught and learned, you know. Yeah.
Wow. All right, Elder Brown, I might have to leave you. I might have to, you know,
come
get off this
now
radio show
come
and become a singer.
Well, you can sing.
All
on
right,
the radio,
I'm
going to go
now. Y'all go ahead.
Yeah. So, George, man, let me tell you, it's
yes
an awesome, awesome opportunity, man. We are so grateful.
Thank
that
you so much.
On
thank
the
you
show. A lot
thank
of the listeners
you
have been, they have been sending me messages, and I have been getting
how
people saying,
doing,
well, wait a minute.
How y'all feeling out there?
Go ahead and talk to them, because they've been sending me messages like, well, what time is he supposed to be on? They setting their clocks and radios, and some
oh
of them.
Oh, man, that's
heard
so awesome.
Yeah,
thank
and
you.
I said, one listener told me, they said, I was a, what they say, she said, I was a an idol junkie. I said, well, I made an idol junkie. You know what that means? That means she watched the show.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
So since we're talking about the idol, tell us about your experience that you had on the show.
Well, you know, like I was saying, I was I went to the University of Oklahoma to major in vocal music education, and somewhere down the line, like my third year, I was in a five-year program, but right around my third year, my money got funny, change got strange. You know, I started the OU Gospel Choir and did that, and it was an awesome success. You can go to the University of Oklahoma now and take the Gospel Choir for accredited course. So God was amazing in giving me ideas and just in my downtime talking to me and giving me insight on where he wanted me to go, because I thought all was lost when, you know, I couldn't start my senior year, you know, at the university because of a housing bill that I had owed with the university. And
mm-hmm.
I spent like a whole year out of school, in which even though I spent that year out of school, I didn't do nothing. I kept myself
mm-hmm.
busy. I auditioned for the University of Oklahoma Opera, in which I landed two major roles at the university. The first opera was called The Elixir d'Amore, in which I played the role of Belcore, major role, and I played
in another opera called Johnny Skeeky, and I was the main character, Johnny Skeeky, all in Italian and everything, because I was looking for ways to try to pay the balance that I had in order to start my senior year. Unfortunately, that when the end of the year came around and the, all the courses that I was that I had taken in which I was going to retroactively enroll in at the end of the year, I was looking for, I knew I was going to get a scholarship, just like everybody else who had leading roles that got scholarships, all got scholarships but me. And there I was sitting there saying to myself, wow, I can't believe I put in the work. You know, I did everything that I knew to do to try to survive in school, you know, at the University of Oklahoma. And to make a long story short, and I'm going to promise you, I'm going to say that one time throughout this whole interview, because, you know, people say that over and over again. But to make a long story short, I did not get the scholarships, which then brought me to a point in the living room, in my living room at university. And I prayed to God and I said, Lord, you know, what am I doing here? You know, what I came here to go to school. I don't have, you know, I did everything I knew to do. And you said that it is your will. It is for us to, that you wish of all things that we prosper and be in good health. And I said, my voice is kind of gone. You know, I don't feel like I'm as healthy as I could be with my voice. I said, and then I don't seem to be prospering with what I came here for. And I prayed to him and I said, what am I supposed to do? What am I to do? Give me some insight and direction. I said, I don't know. And the strangest thought popped up in my head during this prayer time. I sung the song a few times, holy, holy, holy Lord, you know, over and over again. And in that moment, the Lord knocked me down on my felt the Holy Ghost come into the room. And this is a true story. You know how people talk about when having an encounter with God and talking to Him.
Right.
And, you know, they didn't really have that encounter. No, I'm talking about a real encounter where I prayed and I was on my knees praying because at this point I had spent a whole year out of school singing in a language that did not appeal to me. I hated opera. But I did it because I was willing to do anything to try to get that degree. But the Lord knocked me on my knees, and it was a stillness in the room, as if the room was so thick. I don't know if you know what that feeling is like, but the thickness was it was so thick in the room. And I began to talk to God, and I said, Lord, what am I doing? He said, George, he said, that scripture came to me, and And I was always a very timid guy, very afraid, very, very just, you know, scared to walk into a crowded room until you give me the mic and then I'll start singing. And I never thought do what popped up in my head at that moment. And it was to audition for American Idol. I said, now I'm talking to God. I said, now, Lord, this is strange. I said, because, you know, I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, 20-year-old, you know. You wouldn't give me that. You wouldn't tell me to go and do that, surely. You know, and he said, and he just talked to me, and all of these thoughts were coming to my brain about faith and, you know, common scriptures that we know. Faith without works is dead, you know. Faith is the substance of a thing hoped for and evidence of things not seen. And God talked to me about, you know, what I wanted. He said, George, delight yourself in me, and I'll give you the desires of your heart. He said, what is it that you want to do? And that would make a long I'm not going to say it. But that thought popped up in my head to go and audition for American Idol, and I thought it was the strangest thought. And so I got off my knees after wiping my face, the tears and everything, and I auditioned for American Idol, and the rest is history. The American Idol was a faith experience for me because when I first went to the audition, I auditioned in Houston, Texas, at the Minute Maid Park. I caught a Greyhound bus there. I slept outside in the park for three days, two nights. And when I got there, I thought about turning back to come home because it was thousands of people. And I said, Lord, now why would you tell me, you know, this is how I was talking, Lord, why you would tell me to come here and do this? And all of these people, I said, what are the odds? You know, forgetting that he was the one who told me in prayer. Because you know how when you're in prayer, and I know a lot of people out there, you know, pray. And they think they don't know if they're hearing God. or not. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to know when you're hearing God because you don't know what you're hearing. You just, you know, in prayer time and you hear something and you're not sure what it is. But, you know, even in that moment, I'm like, I think this is God, but I'm going to go ahead on and do what I think God, you know, what I think I hearing, what I heard and what he's telling me to do. So I went to the audition and seeing all of this stuff, and I made it through the first round of auditioning, which was the preliminaries where, you know, you sing where all of the thousands of people are just singing and they send in folk home by the dozen and very few get to go to the right side, which is the next mm-hmm. round. So I made it to the next round. Then I was the executive producers. I went back that Friday, auditioned for the executive producers. They said, George, we want you to sing for Simon, Paul, and Randy. So it's two rounds that you go through before you even see the celebrity judges. They changed it a lot this year because of the different producers that they have over the show now, and Simon, Paul, and Randy, Nigel Lithgow, and Ken, and all of them are not there anymore. So the dynamic, right, the demographic, and everything of the show has changed a lot. But here I am auditioning for Simon, Paul, and Randy. After that, you know, it was a faith journey for me because and the Lord used it to show me his power and to show me that when he decrees a thing over your life, that nothing can shake it, nothing can change it, nothing can, you know, you can think a thing and you can question, well, is it God? And the way that I knew that it was God that had told me to go and audition for the show because of the outcome of the situation, and that's when we usually find out when it's, whether it was God or not, or not so much whether it was him or not, but to mm-hmm. hear something and to act on that thing, and then you see the outcome of the situation. And sure enough, it was a faith journey for me because here I am, you know, made it to the executive producers, made it all the way to the round, the Hollywood round, where they said, you're going to Hollywood. We have about 7 rounds to go before we actually make it to the television segment to try to audition to get into the top 12 where the audience is voting. So here I am. I make it all the way to the round before you get to the television segment. And I get to very seldom tell this particular story, but I remember when I got to Hollywood to try to the preliminary rounds, before the 7 rounds. And I walked into the room, and there were 2 brothers in the room. They grouped us all 2 to a room. You know, it was like 240 people that they narrowed it down to try to get the final 30 to audition to get into the top 12. Long story, but trying to make it short. But anyway, I walk into the room, my hotel room, and there were 2 guys, 2 brothers, and one's name was, let me just say this, Noel. One's name was Noel, and the other name was Jesus, in which he insisted on us calling him Jesus. Okay, so I get into the room, and I'm like, okay, I'm thinking there's only going to be one other person in there. I walk into the room, turn the key, and here are Jesus and Noel standing looking out at the mountain. It sounds as fairy tale and far-fetched as it sounds, it's the truth. And I walk into the room, and I'm like, hey. They're like, hey, what's up, man? How you doing? They're like, my name's Jesus, and my name's Noel. And I'm like, okay, pleasure to meet you, Jesus and Noel, you know, whatever. And they said, do you mind, we already talked to the front desk, and we wanted to know if you mind switching rooms with my brother so that he can stay in the room with me. And I was like, you know, I said, cool, that's no problem. We go down to the front desk. Whatever the front desk told them, they reneged on the word and said, no, we can't switch your rooms. You know, everybody who's in the room is supposed to be where they are, and that's the way it's going to be. So here I am in the room with Noel. Jesus doesn't get to stay in the room, you know, because he couldn't switch. So I know I'm talking to hopefully y'all here, but I'm going to get to my point really quick because I'm about to bless somebody out there that's listening and wondering, Lord, what is it that you have for me to do? And I'm telling you, let me tell you something. When you delight yourself in the Lord, he gives you desires of the heart. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these other things will be added unto you. Let me tell you. And God has the answers. It's so awesome. So here I am in the room, and these two guys, in which you thought would be the just their names alone, you know, it was nothing to me that was heavenly about them because I felt that they were pretty much challenging me in a way that I didn't expect to be challenged. You know, we grown ups, you know, we're not in high school or anything, but you know, they kind of gave me the runaround a little bit, but mm-hmm. gave me a hard time, that is. So here during the audition process, I remember them getting one of them getting on the bus. He said, "Oh, we're going to send you home. We're going to send you home." I was like, "What? Where is that coming from?" But anyway, I remember going into the room, and we were talking. Jesus, Noel, and myself was talking. And Jesus, you know, I asked them, I said, it's funny, huh? I asked them, I said, "Hey, guys," I said, "I don't know what we were talking about, but one of them said that he had been having problems with his knees. And, you know, he whatever it was," I was like, "so you have problems." So even before that, I asked them, I said, I was talking about something spiritual or whatever, and I was like, "Oh, speaking of spiritual," I said, "y'all saved?" They was like, "What's that?" I said, "You know, have you accepted the Lord Jesus in as your personal Savior, you know, whatever the case is?" And it was like, "No, not really, you know." And I said, "Y'all want to be saved?" You know, I'm talking like that, being silly. They was like, "Yeah." I said, "Oh, wait." They said, "Yeah." I said, "Lord, what I do next?" You know, so yeah,
wow.
I said a prayer with these two guys. This was now, watch me now. This was before, the day before they chose the final 30 to audition, to go through the different rounds to try to audition to get into the top 12, which was the segment, television segment. So here I'm praying with these two guys, and just all of the crazy, you know, ragging on me, you know, talking all that crazy stuff, I threw out the window. And here we had a moment in the room where they are accepting Jesus as their personal Savior. And during the prayer time, I asked, I said, "Noel, where's your?" I said, "Where?" Both of them, brothers, so I was like, "Where's your mother?" It was like, "She died. She passed away." I said, "Oh my God," you know. And this was all during prayer time. And I said, "Noel, where's your father?" I said, "Where's your father?" You know, they said he was murdered, and I was like, "Oh, my God." And in that moment, I begin to repent, because the whole time I'm praying to God, "Lord, get me through, get me through, get me through." And here's somebody who really hadn't had really a chance of a lifetime, that in that moment, the Lord, I prayed and I asked the Lord to forgive me, because I said I felt a little selfish, because even though they said they would send me home and they would, you know, kind of giving me a hard time, I didn't know where that was coming from until that moment of prayer, and I repented and asked the Lord to forgive me. And he said, "George." I said, "What, Lord?" I heard the words, "Give it up."
Oh,
I'm sitting there saying to myself, "Now, Lord, I know you didn't bring me all the way here to ask me to give it up, to send me back home." He said, let me tell you, and in that moment I said, "Lord, yes to your will. Yes to your way." I said, "You've shown me this much, and I know that it was you moving the whole time." But let me get to the thing even before that. I prayed to Noel, and the Bible says the signs shall follow those who believe. And Jesus, who had problems with his knees, he said, "I've been having trouble with my knees." I said, "If you don't mind," I said, "I'm going to lay my hands on your feet, and I said, I'm going to pray for you right now." He said, "For your knees particularly," and I prayed for his knees. And the most unbelievable thing was happening, because when they prayed the prayer to receive the Lord as their personal Savior, Noel stopped. He stopped. One tear started falling down his face. And they both said, Jesus said to me, "Do you feel that?" I said, "What?" He said, "It feels like I'm floating. It feels as if I'm floating on air." I said, in my mind, I'm like, "Lord," you know, because we often in church have experiences with God during a church service, and sometimes we don't know, we don't be knowing, y'all. It's all faith, right? And we want to believe that we're touched. We want to believe that there's really a move of God in the room that's happening, and to see it in a place that was unfamiliar to me was like, "Oh my God, not only do you really exist, but you're really moving." And here, as they were exercising their faith to receive Christ, I was having to believe God in a way that I never had to believe him before, because then not only was Noel healed, the knee problem, Jesus was healed, the knee problem that he had, because after the prayer, he came running back into the room saying, "Look, I can bend up and down," and I'm sitting here saying to myself, "Whoa." But even before that, the Lord challenged me. He said, "George, I need you to give it up." And I said, "Lord, I can't believe you brought me this far to turn me around, but yes to your will, yes to your way." And I looked at Jesus and Noel, and I said, "By this time tomorrow," I said, "expect something great to happen for you." So we get to the final round, and they chose all of the people, and they come into the room to tell the different groups of 30 whether who was going to be a part of the top 34, or 42 at that time for us. And they came into the room, and they told the group of 24 or 30 that I was with that our group was not going to the top 42. And my heart was crushed, even though God had told me what was going to happen before. I was crushed. I did get mad because here again, I'm having to question the voice that I heard in my head on whether or not it was God speaking. And it was very clear that he was speaking because he told me that he was going to send me back home. But he wanted me to willingly give it up at the moment, in that moment of prayer with the two fellas, because God wanted to show somebody who had never experienced him something and show him his power and that he really exists. But I had to move out the way. How important it is that we, the people who are called by God, to be a blessing and the ministers and to show the world that a lot of times we get so self-indulged that God cannot move through us because we don't know how to move out the way and let him be.
Wow.
We don't know how to not judge people. We don't know how to present God and allow people in love and allow people to make the decision themselves on whether or not they even want to receive him. But if we believe in the God that we serve, then we believe and we trust everything about him, his time and his purpose and everything. And it took a lot for me to humble myself. He said, my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek his face, turn from their wicked ways. He said, it is then will he hear from heaven. He will forgive our sins, right? The one that's praying, the people that are saved and sanctified. And then he said he will heal the land. In order for him to heal the land, I had to humble myself and give up this opportunity, and I did it in front of them, and I said, by this time tomorrow, God is going to do something miraculous for you, and they were saved. God moved. One of them was healed that night, and then the next day, I got sent home, but even in that moment, they came running out of the room, and they were screaming and hollering. They just knew I had made it. They said, you made it, right? You made it. I was like, no, I didn't. They looked at me and said, whoa, you got to be kidding. Like, this is bogus. Like, what's going on? So I went home, and during that whole process of being back, the reality of going back to college cafeteria is where I worked at the University of Oklahoma, at the school cafeteria, and doing all of these things and, you know, just whatever. And I hadn't gone to church in, like, 2 weeks or so because I was just so – I was still in disbelief that all of that had happened, and I had gotten so close to the door. And I was sent back home, and I hadn't gone to church, but I remember going to church on a Wednesday I can't remember the name of the church, but Pastor Terry and Sister Cindy Jones, my pastors. I went back to church on a Wednesday, and they were all like, George, it's so good to see you. We miss you and everything, and, you know, glad to see you back and everything. At this point, they had already – showed the television show all the way up to me getting eliminated before the TV round. And I went back to church, and the pastor looked at me, and there was a prophet who was there who came in the room, and he said, George, you know, he never, ever, as much as I've seen this prophet, he never had a word for me, never. And I always got nervous around him because I just knew that he was going to tell me something that I didn't want to hear, you know. But, you know, and how you be in church and, Lord, they're gonna embarrass you from the whole church and stuff.
Right,
but
right.
This particular Wednesday that I was there, I knew it. He came up to me, and he had the mic in his hand, and he came to me, and I just started crying because I knew that he said, oh, George, you know, he said, let me tell you, that's what he said to me, just like that. He said, because I was crying, and he was just like, oh, like, as if to say, don't be sad. You know, I'm not gonna do you like that. You know what I'm saying? But
right.
He said, I'm here
right.
to get to
right.
you. He said, the Lord said, George, you have laid everything down at his feet. I said, oh, my God. He said,
that's
you have sacrificed. This is powerful. See, this is the backstory that people don't get to get. And a lot of people look at me and they listen. That's another story, because they listen to me and they say, he's not the best of singer. You know what I'm saying? He ain't all of that. You know, this is how people said to me in the gospel industry when I came in and I heard, you know, different things that were being said about my particular talent. And let me tell you,
right. And
God said, no, you're a special case. You know, because people will wonder why you're there. But see, that I got you there. It don't matter what everybody else say. And they wonder, well, how you
right.
get there? How you do? But that's another story in itself. But I sat there and I prayed, and he said, George, the Lord has found favor with you. And it's not the end. It's not the end. And my pastor even told me before I got this prophecy that they were going to call me back. And I went and I sat down, and he said, George, it's like you're in the desert the way Jesus was for 40 days right before, you know, I can't remember, but where the devil went to tempt him with a piece of bread, and the Lord looked at the devil and rebuked him and said, he tried to make Jesus turn a piece of stone into bread because he was, there for 40 days. And my pastor said, George, that's you. But he said, everything that you do within this period right now, your 40-day period, is going to be crucial because they are going to call you back. And then the prophet came to confirm that. Now, I went home and I said, Lord, you want me to act like they're going to call me back? I said, okay. I started packing all of my bags, sold my furniture. I sat in an empty apartment, called American Idol, with the money that I sold my furniture with. I went and got a cell phone, and that's this number that I have right now, that I've had this number for about 13 years, 12 years or so. And I got a phone, got this phone number, and I called American Idol and myself, and I said, just in case y'all need to call me for anything, I said, this is my cell phone number in addition to my home number, so just keep that on file. And I said, I waited.
Wow.
You know, and lo and behold, this is the long story short. I got a phone call from Patrick Lynn at American Idol, and he said, George, hello, George, how you doing? Now, mind you, I had the OU Gospel Choir that I started, and we had a concert on that Friday. And they called me on a Wednesday to tell me that I came back to the show. Now, let me backtrack all the way back to that summer of that same year that I had gone through the whole Idol process and everything. That summer, I was working at Couch Cafeteria, but then I was also cleaning the dorm. So I had two jobs during that summer. And this little Ethiopian lady, my daddy got sick, this little Ethiopian lady on the job, she would always look at me strange. And I asked her one day, I said, you know why? This was before the gospel choir started and everything. She told me my dad was in the hospital sick. And she said, George, you know, I looked at her and I said, you look like you have something to say. She said, how's your dad doing? I said, he's doing, you know, he's still in the coma. You know, my dad was in a coma for 3 months. And, you know, she said, talk to me at lunchtime. I said, okay. I said, so, you know, you have something to say. She said, why do you ask? Because I said, you always, you know, yeah. She said, your dad is going to be okay. She said, he's in the coma because the Lord is dealing with him. Not only did my dad have a full recovery, he had a full recovery, and he's years later now up in an atom. And then she also told me that I was going to start the OU Gospel Choir. This is that summer before I actually started the OU Gospel Choir. She said, you're going to start a choir. She said, but you need to do that quickly. Now, I said to myself, why is she telling me to do that, so to do it quickly? Well, the reason why she said that was because she foresaw that I was not going to be able to be at that concert that I had planned on that Friday because American Idol called me on a Tuesday to come back to the show to try to audition to get into the top 12.
Wow. Now, George, wait. Let me backtrack just
go
a little bit.
Because I'm talking
this whole thing.
I'm listening.
This whole thing that you're talking about is based on humility, because you going to American Idol. In retrospect, it was really about yourself because you wanted to follow what, you know, you felt that God was leading you to do,
mm-hmm.
you know, to become
mm-hmm.
the next American Idol. And so when you got there, the plan actually never changed because
mm-hmm.
what happened there, a gentleman got saved and
yes.
then
yes.
someone got healed. So
yes.
in the midst of that, that is pretty much what your ministry is. Your ministry is that healing, and it is that that individual was
yes.
So it's
yes.
nothing but humility.
Yes.
Listen, everybody,
yes.
I know you're listening to this wonderful show. We have with us today George Huff. He is giving you nothing
hey,
but full testimony of what he's experienced. And I want to thank you guys for joining us today with the Living Day by Day radio show with Minister Lakeba Wallace and me, myself, Priest
hey.
Elder Brown Preach. You guys are listening to nothing but uncut, it is raw testimony
yes.
of George Huff, the American, you call him American singer, just call him American singer. He has done singing and background singing and assisting with major people. Me and him talked about Jennifer Hudson. He has did wonderful numbers with Jennifer Hudson and Rodney Jenkins and Fred Jenkins and Fantasia. Tell us a little bit about that. Tell us about working with Jennifer Hudson.
Well, see, and it all comes back to the American Idol thing. You know, Jennifer and I became friends on the American Idol show. Fantasia and I, we all were, of course, friends and bonded really well, toured together after the show. And Jennifer and I had a particular special friendship because they sent her home as well. She actually made it to the top 30, 24 or whatever, but didn't make it into the top 12. And we all, her, myself, Leah LaBelle, a few others, were all called to be a part of the wild card show in which Jennifer was Randy's wild card pick and I was Simon's wild card pick and other people. You know, so Jennifer and I, during our audition process, she prayed that I would come back. And when she was sent home, it was unreal. I prayed that she would come back, and here we both are part of this wild card show, which pretty much was a part of the building of our friendship, a long-lasting friendship. Life there after Idol, we kept in touch. I have to say this, my journey concerning American Idol and the Lord revealing himself to me and giving me insight on what you just named, my purpose and my destiny, using the working in this industry as a way to allow me to use those gifts and to enhance those gifts and to become familiar with what my true purpose and calling is. And so here I am with Jennifer. Our time is has been such a spiritual journey. The Lord has used me to prophesy into her life specific things that to this day, when she asked me to come on the road with her 5 years ago actually, asked me to go on a road with her, and I said, okay, cool. And I was thinking, well, what she wanted me to do? She wanted me around because, well, that's personal. But it was a spiritual thing that had taken place between the two of us. And I feel like I'm on assignment. I'm there with Jennifer and have been there for so long because I'm on an assignment. People say, George, why you go and do backup? And they don't even understand. You know, and I said, you know what? It don't matter. It's such a spiritual thing to be amongst and in an industry, now the secular industry, to see and to be able to show the love of Christ.
Right.
And to learn at the same time. It is an unbelievable experience. So that's how I know Jennifer and Fantasia and, of course, LaToya London and all of the other contestants. And to this day, I work with Jennifer Hudson as a background vocalist for her and also her vocal arranger. So there are different things that she has for me where she may send me some music and I have to create vocal things for it and stuff. So, yeah. It's awesome.
Now that's wonderful, and you know, a lot of the listeners are hearing this powerful testimony by George Huff, and you know, I want to talk about you have a number of projects that are out there, and yes. I'm going to play bias right now. I like them all, but one of my favorites is Brighter Day off your Miracles. You said many times in a lot of your interviews that Miracles was basically it was something that you basically put together based off your life, meaning your life was nothing but miracles, things that you had went through. The Brighter Day, I promise you that you guys listen. I know y'all listening right now to George.
That's pretty sure.
And it's a 2005, of course, but there's some new stuff I'm going to tell you guys about. But listen, if you're having a bad day, you need to check out this album. It's called Brighter Day. It's on Miracles. And I promise you, when you play this, I don't care if you're driving in your car, if you're cleaning the house, and you put in Brighter Day, you're gonna have a clean house. It's a good thing. Tell us what you're working on now, because we have listeners that are all over, and I'm sure they want to know, what is George Huff doing right now?
Okay, each segment of my life has been, you know, for different, you know, seasons. We all have the seasons in our life, and, you know, for everything there's a time and a season. And, you know, I have the American Idol thing. I have the thing in which I recorded my first Christmas EP that you can purchase that as well. Hey, y'all, go get my Christmas EP that came out in 2005, as well as my debut album, which is Miracles with a Brighter Day on it. A Brighter Day was birthed out of, just like you said, you know, just my life and just believing that out of all that I've been through, Hurricane Katrina, everything, that A Brighter Day was on the way. That song was written with myself, Freddie Jerkins, his wife, his late wife, Mrs. Jerkins, and Hector Diaz, and another girl. We were all writers on that. And they said, George, what do you hear on that song? I say, oh, A Brighter Day, you know, A Brighter Day. And later on, his wife passed, and it's to this day, you know, it's something that I look back and say, wow, this was so needed. So that, and then you have the real hardcore gospel album that I did called George Huff, which is out. I did that album with E1 Entertainment. At the time, it was Koch Records, and now it's E1 Entertainment. If you want some down-home church music, you can do that. Go and get it. I'm so thankful, because I feel like because of the commitment that I had made to God to give him my first fruit, which was after Idol, I said, I want to go gospel, and I went gospel. And, you know, with a lot of ups and downs in that, you know, just you think that the industry, the gospel industry is different from, I would say the gospel industry is ran differently than the secular industry. But unfortunately, people, I'm here to tell you that it's not. And I would say in a gospel industry, they can be more territorial. They can be it's a very territorial space. And I remember when I went gospel, and I'm coming to what I'm working on next, because I'm bringing it all around full circle, Elf Brown and Sister Wallace. But I remember, you know, and I felt like, again, the Lord was telling me, George, I want you to go. He said, George, he really left it open, because he said to me during the Idol thing that he wanted to, he was saying, I'm going to, when I told you I would enlarge your territory, I meant that. And a lot of times it does not concern being within the confinements of the four walls of the church. We have to have the mindset that to do what God did. And a lot of times we in the church, again, I say we get so self-indulged that we can't come off, we can't come down and become the baby in the manger. We can't come down and become the swaddling clothes, you know, the servant and the person that Jesus was, when he came to us, when the Lord, when his father sent him here to be birthed and to go through things that he didn't even have to go through. So, you know, he said, George, but because you did that, he said, I'm going to honor you. And he left the door open, and that's when I got the call to work with Jennifer. And here I am again, you know, I still service the gospel industry and everything, of course, because that's at heart who I am. But I have the opportunity to work with so many other people on the other side. And the last single that I did, it's so funny because when I go places to sing, even when I was heavily, every church, almost every church I go to, I was just in Virginia, and the pastor and his wife that I was there with, I can't remember the name of the church, but it was just about a month ago, and they said, George, we want you to, it was his church's anniversary and his wife's, him and his wife's anniversary, and he said, in the middle of me hosting the show, he said, I want you to sing a Luther song. They had the track and everything, and I was like, okay, so I sung Always and Forever. But everywhere I go, they say, George, you have this Luther thing. You know, when we go, Jennifer and we all travel in places, and she make me do what I call an impersonation of right. Luther Vandross, because they say there's some, not just like him, but some characteristics of my voice that kind of reminds me Luther. So, I've embraced it. I said, God, you know what? You open the door. You know, people still calling me American Idol. When I go to church, they say, we have George Huff from American Idol. It's not even gospel recording artist no more. You know, and I say, wow. I say, well, Lord, what do I have to do to you know, I went gospel. But I said, I'm not going to fight this thing because you did this for a reason. So I decided to just let the Lord lead me. And you know, whatever people think in their mind, whatever they say, you know, they can say what they want to say. I know my life is led by the Most High God. And I'm just, and where he leads, I follow. And I've had the opportunity to work with a guy named Cody DeGrate out of Dallas, Texas, young guy, upcoming producer. And just working with him, and we did this song called I Want You. And there's another song that I'm getting ready to release. It's called Loving You the Right Way, and it has a nostalgic throwback. It's the kind of, I would say, music that we once, that was once a good music. It's reminiscent of something you would hear Luther do and lyrically sound that just expressed, you know, in this, at this point in my life, I want people to get to know a little bit more about me, and that there is a spiritual side of me, and there is a side of me that that understands the natural way of life, and that yes, I am a guy who is looking for love, and I'm searching, and this song kind of says that. It's the first line. I would do anything for love, you know, loving you the right way, you know, and listen to the song. But that's coming out November 10th, and
This is your new track,
yes, this is my new single, yes, coming out November 10th, called Loving You the Right Way. And I'm also working on a concert series, A Night of Love with George Huff, featuring the songs of Luther Vandross. And I'm still working on getting the first venue for that together, which is going to be in Dallas, Texas, the first show. And then I'm going to take that on the road. So you're going to get to hear me sing a lot of all of the old Luther classics, you know, and it'll be wonderful. Married couples, come on out and have a good time. Or if you're single, you can come on out too. And I'll be posting that pretty soon about, you know, those dates and everything. So, and then of course, currently working with Jennifer Hudson. So now I'll be on the road with her as well. So yeah, that's what I'm working on at the present time. Yes.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Did y'all hear that? New music. New music for your soul. New music for your mind. And I think I heard a plug in there say that you were searching, but I'm not going to deal with that right now.
Oh, Jesus. You know, let me tell you, I've gotten as close as my piano.
Yeah, I hear
I've
you.
I've gotten as close as getting on a plane and flying and getting the mic in my hand and walking off stage. But awesome to be able to sing about, you know, to sing about every day. I often ask this question, too, and I don't think a lot of people ask this question, like, what was the you know, because the Bible is you know, descript, you know, there's it's descriptive of what Jesus' life was like. But, you know, there's 365 days a year. I wonder what his life was like. You ever think about that?
Wow. What interesting, you know, question to pose to people.
That's a very
right.
interesting question, because we have moments in Jesus' life that is documented. But there is, I often wonder, a lot of the things that we deal with, you know, and that we think about, and that we have to sit and we say, and we know that Jesus, you know, walked amongst people, and he was not of this world, of course, you know, and it is that we not be of the world, but be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So there is the thing that we, the template has been set for us to live by, right? And but I often wonder, in between all of everyday, Jesus' everyday life, you know, what that was like.
Wow.
You know, just his thought process and everything. But it's so awesome, because it is, we have to live in a system, a world that you know, if we could just go to heaven right now, or make, or be in a world aside of the earth that is just a heavenly realm all the time, we would do that. But the reality is that we have to wake up and go to work in the morning, you know?
And it's a continuation. Absolutely,
yes,
it's a continuation.
Well,
we only have
to interact with people that's going to bring something
else
out of us, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
We only have just a few more seconds, minutes here. And listen, everybody, you have been listening to George Huff, the man of the hour. I'm telling you, you got to go out and get his albums. Go out and purchase. You can find all of his music in any place that is selling music, any distribution. You can go online.
iTunes, Amazon,
he is out there.
Yes.
Let them know where they can reach you. We only have a few more minutes and we're going to wrap it up. Let them know how they can reach you and connect with George Huff.
Well, if you want to connect with George Huff, you can reach me at Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope, and that's at George Huff, the number 4, the word real. George Huff for real. And follow me there, and I have all of my latest stuff. And I also have if you wish to be added to my mailing list, you can send a message, sign me up at georgehuffupdates@gmail.com. So look for me there, George, at George Huff for Real, on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. And,
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
We really, really appreciate the time. We know that you're very busy, and we love your music.
Y'all head, but I thank you so much for having me on the Living Day by Day show. How y'all doing out there? Thank you, Elder Brown and Sister Wallace, who didn't get a word in edgewise. I'm sorry, but thank you so much.
Well, we definitely appreciate you. We appreciate George Huff, everybody.
Thank you.
You have been listening to the Living Day by Day radio show with none other than Minister Lakeeba Wallace, and I am Preach Elder Brown. Listen, I know you have been blessed. I have been blessed listening to the powerful testimony of George Huff. Listen, you guys have not heard. This was the first time you've heard this testimony. It's powerful, and he really let us know what humility was all about. Going to American Idol, wanting to be the one, wanting to be able to sing, wanting to be able to bless the people, and he was on a bare mission to go down there, and a gentleman got saved
and one got healed. That is nothing but humility. And we really thank George Hill for being with us and being a part of us, a very busy man, very busy schedule. If you need to reach out to Lakeba Wallace, you can find her on Facebook, Living Day by Day Radio Show. If you need to reach out to me, Preach Elder Brown Preach, I am on Facebook, on Twitter. I am on all the social medias. You just type me in and you'll find me there. You have been blessed on today. And I just want to let you know that God loves you, we love you, and there's nothing that you can do about it. Stay focused, stay prayed up, and remember, God is love, and love is God. God bless you, everybody.
Come true, and it's called a